Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome all on this August 21, 2021. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is indeed the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And in that regard, we have Rick and Dr. Don, Larry, and Mike on the phones today, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us in this study about the revelation of the truth that Jesus brought from the Father. There's lots to do, and I'm going to just remind you right now of our websites. Primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. And by the way, we are getting quite a number of people. I actually haven't counted them recently, but I think this last week we had 25 or 30 new people join spiritoftruthministry.net. We also have our secondary and original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/S. Capital T, capital M. The STM stands for Spirit of Truth Ministry. There you will find a lot of historical data and biographical data. You will also find writing by not only Rick Sterling, but the rest of us as well. And it is quite a resource we encourage you to use. We will be starting here in just a moment. But before we do, Father in Heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the world is devolving right now, even as we look, even as we see the things that the deep state, as machined by Satan, is trying to pull off to keep the life road prophecies from happening. Satan knows that if those death road prophecies that exist in Revelation do not happen the way that he wants them to happen, he has no chance. And he thinks that God is going to make a mistake and allow him an out in order to rule the world for eternity. This is not true. And I pray, Father, that you will reveal to us further the way that the life road prophecies will change this world for the good and forever. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's get started here. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Pretty darn good for someone of my age and temperament. Sorry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And how are you this fine day?
Oh, like Mike said, I'm feeling a little froggy.
The hair of the frog, huh? And Dr. Don, it's nice to hear from you.
Well, I'm enjoying this overcast, cool morning. And I'm preparing for an absolutely fabulous study, which we need desperately today.
And so you just were telling... Well, you were just telling us that there is a physician that is giving a seminar today that you have been watching a little bit of.
There's a seminar going on at the Village Church in Berrien Springs, Michigan, as we speak. So,
and this doctor,
Dr. McCulloch, who's one of the top guys in the world, and he's laying it out there very simply, the most uneducated, unacademic person can understand what he's talking about, and he's talking about the absolute vileness of all of this. So anybody out there listening, tune into the Village Church, Berrien Springs, Michigan, for the COVID seminar.
After our show, Don. after our program.
You can insert that. But some kind of a prophet. But for years and years and years, you've all heard me say that brace yourself. Don't get ready. Be ready. Because the day is going to come when the screaming is going to start. The screaming is going to start not only here, but on spiritual things. And guess what? The screaming has started. I got called in the middle of the night by my fabulous sister in Michigan telling me to turn this on. And I've been talking to her for decades. And she's fought me and shunned me for decades. Now the screaming has started. So all of you people out there, get ready, because if you follow Jesus, they're coming after you. And the people next to you that you trusted and loved, they're going to start screaming, and the screaming is going to go like this. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And you have to quietly tell them, I've been trying to tell you for 20 or 30 years.
It's because they weren't listening.
It's exactly that's right, they want to listen.
That's right. Well, Rick, how are you this morning? I understand you're having a little bit of a problem with your eye, but I hope that doesn't deter you from giving us a good study.
No, as long as I can see out of one eye, I guess I can go with a little bit of blindness in the other.
If you need me to read anything, you let me know.
All right. I've been thinking a lot about what is happening in the world and what it means for us. Is this a time that God warned us about, or not so much warned us about, but informed us about? And God had a lot to say about the end of days. In fact, the prophet Daniel, a person whom God held in high esteem, and I don't know any greater that could be said about a person than that Almighty God holds them in high esteem. All of the prophecies that we read in the book of Daniel are end of days prophecy. Now, you might say, well, Rick, yeah, I understand that. I can see that. But what about chapter 9? Chapter 9 is an end of days prophecy that was dependent upon the performance of the children of Israel. That 70 weeks of time, which is a week of years, so 70 weeks of years is a time prophecy that was timed by the restoration calendar. All of this was timed by the restoration calendar, because it all involves restoration. But God required the children of Israel to become the nation and the kingdom that he needed to defeat the ruler of the world and establish a kingdom here on earth for him to rule over. We know for a fact that the children of Israel did not meet those requirements. And the Messiah of the kingdom of God withdrew the kingdom mandate from them. They'd already had two opportunities, and they had ignored God's explanation and revealing of what they needed to do, and they refused to do it. And the ultimate rejection was in person when the Son of God came to inform the people of the truth, and the religious leadership, the leadership, spiritual leadership of the nation totally and completely rejected the king. So he withdrew the kingdom from them. So it was an end of days for Israel to have the opportunity, the mandate to become God's kingdom on earth. The dream that Jacob had about a ladder was a dream vision, I guess you could call it that, a ladder or a stairway or some type, something like that, that he saw that the bottom was on earth in a place which he named Bethel, House of God. And the top of the stairway was in the heavens. And going up and down on this stairway were angels, messengers from the heavens. And we're told that the Son of God, the Messiah, is the stairway. That would make sense to anyone living at the time when the Son of God was delivering his testimony in the flesh, that he was the connection between the heavens and the earth. He was the king of the kingdom. Kingdom had rejected him. So that was an end of days, and it talks in that prophecy about the destruction of the temple and the end of that time. All the other prophecies in Daniel concern the end of days, the time in which we are living right now. The two camps, if you will, the two groups of people that were prophesied to be living at the end of time were, well, I'm trying to explain this so that you'd be able to understand it. But what we have right now, I'll explain what we have right now. We have a satanic group of people who go by various names as globalists, New World Order, communists, Satanists, whatever. That is one group. And that group of, actually, it's group of countries, leaders in their country. And these exist in just about every country in the world of note. They either have their seat of power in those countries, or they control country, like in Africa. Africa, I would say, is a continent of countries where the majority of the people really love God and they trust God. And they have been given the short end of the stick every single time. The globalists have moved into these African countries and have taken over all their natural resources. One really good example is Nigeria. Nigeria has some of the best oil, the sweet crude in the world. And of course, in swooped the oil companies, Dutch Shell in particular, and took all the oil, paid off all the leaders, and the people are living, well, I know we have some people in Nigeria listening to us, and I just want you to know that you will not always have to live the way you are, but I know you're making the best of it. I know you love God, and God hears you. In fact, all the African countries are in that type of situation. So we have that group led by Satan. And the reality that they were expecting to be able to have full control of is in the past. But the group, that evil satanic group, Moloch, Baal, Ashtoreth, worshiping, and these people really do worship these occult gods, these beings that have been in control of the people of this world for a very, very long time. When God points out in Daniel the beasts, the consecutive progression of kingdoms or empires, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the great and terrible beast. The great and terrible beast was the last of the beasts to appear before the kind of interim where there were the 10 horns. Three of the horns were uprooted by a very different type of horn. It had eyes and a mouth. So you actually end up with 8 horns, and the 8th has eyes and a mouth and is speaking boastfully. We're told that the 4th beast was, its body was destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire, but its spirit must have morphed into what that horn with the eyes and a mouth was and is. Although judgment has been decided in favor of the saints, and that particular power has, well, it's been stripped of its power. Satan is involved in his last great effort. Now, he had a last great effort that was for a specific time, but we would only go into that reality if there were certain things in place. One of the main things is the trustworthy and the trustworthy servant who's wise enough to understand what's going on and to see what's going on and to help others see what is going on. And are the people of the world in this particular, their soul, their heart, is it in this particular state of being that we read in Matthew chapter 24, starting, well, it's verse 7. 7 and 8. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. For nation will fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes here and there. All this is only the beginning of the birth pains. The birth pains. You know, when serious labor starts, the end result is the birth of a child. So we have seen the birth pains happening. We saw them start little by little and then getting more and more intense. Look around you. You can see how intense these are. And then verse 12. And with the increase of lawlessness, love in most men will grow cold. But the man who stands firm to the end will be saved. The good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a witness. All nations, and then the end will come.
You know, Rick, I find it fascinating that that one verse that says, and the and lawlessness will increase. This lawlessness is based in spiritual lawlessness, but it manifests itself into also temporal lawlessness as well. The Constitution of the United States is based on common law, and common law exists because God exists. So we are seeing a pulling back, pulling away from common law, and that common law is what has preserved us thus far. Again, I want to encourage and assure our listeners that God will let that go only so far before he intervenes.
Well, we have seen in the last, well, it could be the last 5 years, but in particular, the last year and a half, an increase in lawlessness around the world. We've seen it in this country, the United States, that involves many different aspects. You know, what was done in the cities, the major cities in several states last year, starting in May. You still see it. You see what's going on in the Middle East. And all of this is an attempt by those who obey the orders of Satan. They worship Satan. And Satan's back is against the wall. He knows what reality we are in. And that's what I want to let you know about, that the group of the group of those that want to destroy the earth. They are here in this reality, and they're still trying to destroy the earth because they are totally given over to Satan. And he has promised them fame and fortune and power and everything their heart desires for a price. And he has let them know that if they don't get control of this situation, they will not get what they have been promised. And so they are working in desperation. The foretold events on the reality that we read in Matthew 24 and possibly 25, they may work out, but not quite exactly in the way that they are described, because, not because God got it wrong, but because we are in a different reality. But we still have the two groups, the evil group that is serving Satan. We have a group who is serving God, but they don't know God. And it's not their fault that they don't know God. They know of God, but they don't know God. You know, it's like you've heard of people and you've heard of what they're doing, but you have never known them personally. And you cannot know someone well if you've never had experience with them, if you don't know much about them. You just have heard of them, and what you've heard about them you like, and so that's what you do, but you've never known them. You've only known of them. A good example that I use frequently is the woman at the well, or Sychar. She was at Jacob's well, and the Son of God was there sitting on the wall, I guess, by the well, or on a large boulder by the well. And we'll take it up in the conversation where the woman says this to the Messiah, and that's John chapter 4, starting with verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah, that is Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us everything. I, who am speaking to you, said Jesus, I am he." At this point, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to the woman, though none of them asked, "What do you want from her? Why are you talking to her?" The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to town to tell the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ. This brought people out of the town, and they started walking towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples asked one another, "Has someone been bringing him food?" The disciples were living with him daily. And they don't know him. They don't know him. They know of him. And they live with him daily, and they don't know him because he says something like that, and they don't get it. Now, turn back. Just go back up in that account to, let's start with verse 19.
What chapter are we in again, Rick?
Four. "I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. While you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship, Jesus said, 'Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation comes from the Jews, but the hour will come. In fact, it's here already, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshiper the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." So when he said to the disciples that "I have food that you do not know about," and they think that somebody has already brought him bread, somebody's brought him some food, and he's not telling them that somebody's been bringing him food. So then he says, and we take this up in verse 34, still in chapter 4 of John, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. Have you not got a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around you. Look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid his wages. Already he is bringing in the grain for eternal life. And thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap a harvest you had not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come into the rewards of their trouble." What I am saying about knowing God is you need to know the truth about God. And you're not going to hear that in church. You're not going to hear that in a synagogue. You're not going to hear that in a mosque. You're not going to hear that in a Buddhist temple. Going to hear that in a satanic worship service. If you want to know God, not just know of God, you must eat the spiritual food that he has provided. He sent his son, his only son, to come in a body of flesh and tell us the words that came from the Father's soul. These words, he says, came directly from the Father. They were given to him, and he came here to earth, and he said every word that the Father told him to say. And what we must do in order to know God and to worship God in truth is we have to know the truth, because the people are worshiping God in a lie. And you can think of me whatever you want to think, but I'm telling you, when John says that the whole world is in darkness, the whole world is in darkness, and the cause of that darkness was the evil one. And the evil one, how is it? See, the evil one lies. And he knows what you really want. He knows how it, that the way that salvation works for you. And that's what he'll tell you. If you want to be saved, this is how it works. But it's a lie. But oh, it sounds so loving and inclusive and good and wonderful and humanitarian, he say to the woman in the garden. No, you don't. No. Yeah, God said that, but no, he's not going to do that. God said he would do it, but no, he's not going to do that. No, he is not going to do that. That's what the devil says. And so what do you think the man and the woman thought? Oh, well, I hadn't eaten from that tree before because God said not to, and particularly because he said that if I did, he would put me to death on that very day that I disobeyed him. But here, this is one of the gods, this serpent. And he's saying, no. God, he wouldn't kill you. God doesn't kill. No. You see, God is withholding some truth from you. Because if you ever figured out what you could do to become like the gods, well, then you'd be like him, wise and knowing secrets. You know, it really took a lot of convincing, didn't it? For the man and the woman to disobey God. It was just a couple of sentences. No. He will not put you to death. He knows that when you eat from that, your eyes will be opened. And you become like the gods, knowing good and evil. If you, the law, he says, the law, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. You know, those, no. He was just showing you what sin is. Yeah, you know, you want to see what sin is? It's the same thing he said to the woman in the garden. You will know evil. You'll know the difference between good and evil. It's the same thing, he said. It's worked so well because he got an apostle of his own to plant seeds of lies. Oh, you know, God didn't, when Christ died, he didn't do away with the law. He just gave us a way of salvation that is apart from the law. Well, the law is still there, and you can read it. It's only there so that you know what evil is. You know what sin is. So you know the difference between good, which is the law, and evil, which is sin. But the Son of God, Christ, he was put to death so that sinners wouldn't have to be put to death. The devil is very crafty. And if you don't know the truth, you'll believe the lie. Because it sounds so wonderful. Oh, the love of God. He is so, that unconditional love, he cannot not save you. He has to save you because he loves you. He loves you. Now, it's true that God does love you, and he does love sinners, but he does not want them to remain in sin, and he has made that very clear. He wants you to demonstrate your love for him by finding that gate, that door, that narrow path that leads to the kingdom. That narrow path is truth. The narrow way is truth. And only the truth will lead you to the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is not a place. It's a people. So that brings us to today. There's a lot going on. If you don't think there's a lot going on, then you must be living under a rock. Because there's a lot going on. There are people in dire distress. You know, my heart goes out to those people living in Australia who are under the tyrannical rule right now, because I pray to God that he will take care of those people. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Next, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the world back to keep them from blowing over the land or the sea or the trees. Then I saw another angel rising from where the sun rises, carrying the seal of the living God, and called in a powerful voice to the four angels whose duty was to devastate land and sea. Wait. Wait before you do any damage on land or sea or to the trees until we have put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard how many were sealed, 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel. Then just go over start reading verse 2. So Revelation chapter 8, starting at verse 2. Next I saw seven trumpets being given to seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, the altar here being the golden altar in the temple, where atonement is made. for the kingdom of God. A large quantity of incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that stood in front of the throne. And so from the angel's hand, the smoke of the incense went up in the presence of God, and with it, the prayers of the holy people. Now, when God uses that term holy people, he's talking about the people who are in his kingdom. Not everybody who worships God is in his kingdom. They, as I would term it, are in the kingdom of the heavens, but they are not in the kingdom of God, which is a good way to describe it is the children of Israel and the mixed multitude that were in the wilderness would be in the kingdom of the heavens. And we know that when they entered the promised land, they still weren't in the kingdom of the heavens. And we know from the parable of the tenants and from the parable of the wedding feast, they never, as a people, entered the kingdom of God. Which is why the king withdrew from them the mandate, if you will, to enter the kingdom of God. So here when it says that the incense is offered with the prayers of the holy people, God is saying these are the people who are in my kingdom, who have completed the sanctification process. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, which he then threw down to the earth. Immediately there came peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, and the earth shook. The earth shook. This is an earthquake that is felt worldwide. The earth, then the seven angels that had the seven trumpets, now made ready to sound them. Then it talks about the first trumpet, the second trumpet, the third trumpet, the fourth trumpet, the fifth trumpet. None of those have happened yet. None of that has happened yet. In fact, the four angels are still holding back the four winds. Do you know what the four winds are? The four winds are the...
their judgment.
They're the four dreadful judgments of God. If we read in the fourth seal, and that would be Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. When he broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth animal shout, "Come!" Immediately another horse appeared, deathly pale, and its rider was called Plague, and Hades followed at his heels. They were given authority over a quarter of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, by plague, and wild beast. Those four things, sword, famine, plague, and wild beast, are the four dreadful judgments of God. So my question is, has the four winds, have the four winds been released yet? And the answer is, no, they can't have been. Why, you might say? Well, because it says that the four winds will be held back until the 144,000 have been sealed, and they won't be released until the 144,000 have been sealed. So the final end time judgment, the great tribulation, such as never has been since there was a nation to that time and never will be again, has not started, at least the one described in Revelation here, because the four winds are still being held back. You say, well, yeah, we have a plague. Well, yeah, we have a plague. We have a man-made plague. This is not a plague that is man-made. This is a plague that is God made. Now, if the 144,000 haven't been sealed yet, but we have something that resembles the mark of the beast. I mean, we have something that I think you would have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and dead if you didn't see this. Vaccine passports and vaccine, you have to be vaccinated or you can't work. You have to be vaccinated. You can't go into a store and buy things. You have to be vaccinated or you can't travel. You know, that sounds to me like the mark of the beast. In fact, there's a lot of people out there saying that it is the mark of the beast. But is it the mark of the beast that's described in Revelation? It cannot be. It cannot be. But why then do we have this thing that's like the mark of the beast? It's being used like what is described as the mark of the beast because the same group of satanic cabal globalists are still trying to make this happen. Why? Because their God, the devil, the ruler of the world, their ruler, they're doing his will. And he doesn't want to lose. See, he's not used to losing. He was triumphant in the Garden of Eden. He was triumphant with the children of Israel, keeping them from becoming God's holy people, his kingdom. He has enjoyed victory after victory, after victory. He's not used to losing. And this will be his one, his final, his coup de grace. Oh, God may put him to death, but he will go to his execution knowing that he had the majority of the people's allegiance. Those people chose his way over God's way. That's kind of what Revelation is describing. And I say kind of because we can read in Revelation chapter 7 and starting with verse 9. After that, I saw a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every nation, race, tribe, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. They shouted aloud, "Victory to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, who are all these people? Where did they come from? Well, if we go to verse 14, and I answered him, "You can tell me, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the people who have been through the great persecution, and because they have washed their robes white again in the blood of the Lamb, they now stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And the one who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. They will never hunger or thirst again. Neither sun nor scorching wind will ever plague them, because the Lamb who is at the who is at the throne will be their shepherd. So the devil is not going to win either way. But he would much rather go down with his chance to come out of the abyss and pretend that he is the savior of mankind, that beast and the image to the beast and the giving the breath to the image to the beast. There's something I know that happened. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but it happened, which will forever prevent the fifth trumpet. And the reason that the fifth trumpet has been forever prevented, and meaning the other trumpets except for the seventh, the reason is because we are not in the reality that we read in Revelation. We are in the reality of Revelation 10, the secret intention of God, the seven thunders. I believe that we are right there. A matter of days, weeks, or months. Not years. And when I say months, I'm saying, and this is just my own opinion, so don't say Rick said da-da-da-da-da, because this is my own opinion, that it will not go past November. And I think it will happen sooner than that. But it's moves and counter moves, and you have to finish the game in order to get to the reality that part of our reality where there is peace and prosperity mm-hmm. for everyone. And so I say, we will see that everything is as it once was, because these are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. We encourage you even more to go to our Facebook page, Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, because there you will see daily writing by Rick. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, we hope you join us a week from this past Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, so long for now. Have a happy Sabbath, and we'll see you all next time.